man, bladder, and gallbladder. The focus of this recording will be on addressing the spiritual nature of what is symbolized in words as bladder and gallbladder, which are internal organs of a so-called human body. But the focus, as with all treatments, are going to be on the spiritual counterfact to what is termed something that is material in nature. To begin, I will reiterate the three quotes at the very beginning of the text of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. The first one is a quotation from John, and it's the words of Jesus, which states, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The second is from Shakespeare, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And the third one is by Mary Baker Eddy, and it says, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." Now, the reason I frequently begin with these three short quotes is that the first one establishes the frame of thought that we have to be aware of and practice in order to get started. And that is that there is truth, and it's fixed, unchangeable. And if we recognize that, then we have an opportunity to be free of the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. The second one is that our thoughts have a direct impact on our experience, everything in our life. And that is by Shakespeare that says, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." Mary Baker Eddy talks about forming a perfect model in thought. And this is directly related to what Shakespeare is telling us about the impact that our thought has on our life. And then, of course, the third one is telling us if we do number one and number two, then we will be blessed because the reward comes to those who follow the Christ consciousness, which is God. God is the only consciousness, and the Christ consciousness means to be reflecting the consciousness of God, as did Christ Jesus. Also, it's good to remember what King Solomon said, and that is to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. All these things means everything we need as we plow our way through life, putting aside, exposing, destroying all mortal mind suggestions, and letting the wheat grow, and then it will be ready for harvest. Another one is the introduction to chapter 14, which is recapitulation, which is the summary of chapters 1 through 13 of Science and Health. And it says, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." And that's from Isaiah. And Mary Baker Eddy repeats that as an introductory quote to chapter 14 because she's emphasizing that we just take one step at a time. And she emphasizes also in her writing that the difference between success and failure is typically due to whether or not we use the moments in a productive way. It's very common to let moments be wasted. Wasted time. Wasted, in fact, the lack of effort to make it productive. She says that's a very big mistake. We only need to make a little progress each day. In fact, Einstein has a wonderful quote on that. Einstein states, "The important thing is not to stop questioning. Curiosity has its own reason for existing. One cannot help but be in the awe when he contemplates the mysteries of eternity, of life, of the marvelous structure of reality. It is enough if one tries merely to comprehend a little of this mystery every day. Never lose a holy curiosity." Anyone that thinks that Einstein was not spiritual in many ways are not really aware of this kind of statement that he made. And he became a Christian Scientist. He studied it. He attended church. He attended reading rooms. And he made some very wonderful comments about it. Please visit the website for authors in the menu, and then just go to the E's, which is for Einstein, and you can read what he said about it. Quite a bit of information on there. Several pages. Many pages. Now, if we want to know about truth, which, of course, is that first quote at the beginning before the preface in Science and Health, then it's also recommended that you begin any treatment with reading the definitions of God on page 465 and 578 and the definition of good on page 578. As a part of this treatment, there will be a link to a document which will give these various definitions and quotes, so you can download it in writing, or you can open it and view it in text. And there will be some other brief things on there, so you can get oriented to the system of divine metaphysics. One of the things that Einstein says, and I don't really want to repeat anymore because there's too much, and be good if you just read it from his web pages, and that is that Christian Science is a science and works if it is followed in a systematic basis. So he's admitting that it is a science, and science has to be systematic. It's not an art. It can't be done differently by different people. There is a system, and you have to follow the system. You have to know what the elements are, the seven synonymous terms, and the four operators. And you have to follow it. Just like he followed the rules of mathematics and physics when he was working on the formula of relativity. His discovery on that was what brought him to the forefront worldwide, and physicists use that formula continuously. Moving forward with the topic for this recording, which is about the two organs in the body, which are called bladder and gallbladder, and there might be more than one of each, I don't know. Our family, the children in our family, were completely isolated and given the privilege of skipping all courses and classes that had to do with the body or sickness or any of that kind of thing. So I am probably the least knowledgeable of anyone you will find on what the parts of the body are, or what their functions are, or how many there are. The exterior, I can figure out how many legs and arms. But otherwise, the internal parts, I know almost zero about. But what's important is what is the spiritual nature of what those parts represent. And that's the work that is so valuable that Mr. Rossin gave to us in his encyclopedia titled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. And his section of 202 pages under the title of Applied Treatment is where we want to focus. In fact, for these two particular things, the bladder and the gallbladder, we want to focus on the last few pages of the book, which is under the title of Capacities and Powers of Man Spiritually Understood. That starts on page 275 and goes to page 281. Very interesting few pages. Mary Baker Eddy indicates that to heal an ailment, we must first of all figure out what is the real cause of the problem, and then we need to expose it, and we need to explain it away with the truth, and that's what eradicates it. And then, of course, we want to then focus our attention on the counterfact, which, of course, is part of explaining it away with the truth, and we want to seal the treatment. And I'll go through that to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. Now, when I mentioned that we want to make sure we find the real cause, Mary Baker Eddy discovered that several of her students that had come to her for help were working on the wrong cause. And that is because error tries to mock truth, and also it is a master at setting up decoys. So what appears as a symptom for a problem may be what it would be if there weren't anything else that is working behind the curtain, but often something else is working behind the curtain, and what we see as a symptom is really leading to something that might be considered the problem, but it could be a decoy instead of the real problem. For example, one thing she said specifically when somebody came to her that wasn't having any headway on solving the problem or healing it. So the first question she would ask them is, what are you working on to solve the problem? And when they told them what they were working on, it was exactly like what I'm telling you. It was what is related to the symptom. And she immediately would tell them in this one particular case, for example, that that is the wrong thing to be working on, because that is only a proof that when there is a problem, it shows up in the weakest part of the body for that particular individual. But that is not what the real problem is. That is only a decoy. It's like a water leak in the roof of a house. The water leak might be coming through the ceiling in one room, when in fact the hole in the roof could be directly above another room altogether. And water just works its way around to the line of least resistance and seeks whatever the weakest part is that it can penetrate. In any event, in this one particular instance that I recall at this moment. She said, no, you shouldn't be working on that. You should be working on malpractice. For purposes of this illustration, we will assume that the symptom is leading to the real cause of the problem or something related to it, and I will give you a list of things that are considered to be relating to it or as potential problems relating to it. So if you're talking about a bladder or a gallbladder, both of them are symbolizing the spiritual value of the power of holding ideas. And the bladder by itself is considered the power of holding ideas before passing them on. And a bladder is just the power of holding ideas. Now, what the real function of these things are, I have no idea, and I'm not really interested in looking it up. If he would have included it in his encyclopedia, then I would have read it. But I don't really want to fill my thought with the medical reasons since he didn't provide it. And he did provide it for 1,315, but for these six pages in the back, he did not. Now, something associated with a bladder that could be a malfunctioning is it resulting in a bladder leak, which means that it's coming out and it's not supposed to be. In other words, it's coming out without the intent of it coming out by the individual. So I was interested in what things are related to this. So in doing a little research in his book, and from my own experience with a couple of things, it indicated that, and these are like in alphabetic order, number one is age. Apparently, one of the universal beliefs is that as age advances, that these things basically wear out, or other parts of the body that are related to having them function properly are wearing out. So, age is one thing that we want to consider, and we would want to include that in our treatment. Another thing is different kinds of food, they claim, can be a cause of it. And I would like to add to that, it could be either an excess or a lack, based on universal belief. Another thing is the nervous system. The nerves, if any of you don't know, and I've just learned this recently, but that basically is the system that sends messages from the brain throughout the body. That is the nerves. The next part is muscles. So the belief is that as there is age that is advancing, that the muscles will get less strength and will be less able to perform their normal functionality. Now, something that is very important to remember is that the medical industry constantly changes their view and recommendations about any particular ailment. The medical is not a science like mathematics or music. It's really a so-called art. In other words, two different people can come up with different opinions about how to solve it. And you can't do that in the spirit, because there's only one way, and that is the system and structure that Mary Baker Eddy presents to us in the textbook. So if we know the system, then we can practice it, and anyone else that knows the system can practice it, and the result will work the same way for both. Now, some or maybe all of these things that are mentioned here are covered in those 1,315 items, but the name gallbladder and bladder itself are not included in that alphabetical list of that 1,315 items. So that's one of the reasons why we're doing a treatment on it here in this recording. Okay, so you understand now what the basic terms are that describe the immediate problem, and then other things that are related and could be considered the cause of why one or both of those items are not functioning properly. So, where is the cure? Well, the cure is in having an understanding, and no one understands these things completely because it's infinite. But we need to have enough understanding so that we can overcome the problem. And the seven synonymous terms are the primary things that we work with, as well as the four operators. And the seven primary terms are in the definition of God on page 465 in the order of the days of creation, which is in Genesis chapter 1, going through verse 3 of chapter 2. And those seven synonymous terms, as any Christian Scientist probably has memorized a long time ago, are mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Now, again, we have this information on the thing you can download that was mentioned previously that was entitled something like definitions and quotes, and I think summary is a part of the name of that document. So, mind, some of the key elements of mind are creative ability, capacity, there's all functionality and facility. And the four omnis are omnipresence, omniaction, omnipotence, and omniscience. Omniscience includes intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. And everything about God is omni, which means that it is the one, only, and all. So if we talk about the power of God, we know that there can be no competition or opposition to it because God is omnipower, omnipotent. And the same with everything else. He is omnipresent, which means that there is no other presence of anything except God. If an individual appears to be present, that is only an image. It is a reflection of God. And if there's any action that seems to be taking place, it can't be premature action or inaction, lack of action, in other words. It can't be overaction. It can't be reaction. Because God is the only action. So it's got to be perfect action at the right time, at the right intensity, to bring about whatever the right thing is for that particular activity. Okay, spirit represents purity, and of course that's the opposite of matter, which is the opposite of purity. But spirit represents purity, which means that it's absolutely flawless, and it is also transparent because it's flawless. Think about looking at a diamond. A flawless diamond means that there are no particles in there that are visible to whatever is needed to be seen. So, it's going to be reflective because it is transparent and it's flawless. Soul means spiritual sense. And the reason it's spiritual is because the only substance is spirit. So the senses have to be spiritual senses. Principle means everything must be in balance. Everything must be harmonious. Everything is working independently of anything outside itself. So, for example, if there's a problem of food, overeating, or not eating anything, you know, people have problems both ways, then we can work with the fact of divine principle, because divine principle maintains everything in perfect balance. Life is the next thing after principle, and that means living all the qualities of God. So if we are not enjoying life, then that means we're not living the qualities of life. We're not living intelligence and wisdom and knowing and creative ability and capacity and capability and functionality. There's something that is missing in how we're living our life, or we wouldn't be bored or absent of really the liveliness that represents life. Truth means that it is consciousness, and that includes motive. So in other words, if someone would be in an accident and lose consciousness, we could talk in terms of the fact that God is truth and truth is consciousness. That means God is always conscious of the truth, and therefore as his reflection, we, or that individual that had to was involved in the accident, is conscious of the truth about himself. He's conscious of the truth about the event, and there couldn't be anything chaotic, because that would be against divine principle. Divine principle is balance. Chaos is the opposite of balance. And then, of course, the seventh one is love. So it's mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth. Now, love is nurturing. It's the motherhood quality. Just like life is considered the fatherhood quality, and truth is considered the sonship. Because Jesus focused on truth. In fact, that quote that is the first one in the textbook says, "Ye shall know the truth, and it shall make you free." And that was from Jesus, reiterated by John. So truth is consciousness, but love is the nurturing of all the qualities, one at a time. Just like she says in that quote in chapter 14, where it says precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. That means we want to gain something positive every step of the way. And then we will go up and forward instead of being bored or lackadaisical or unproductive in any way. So love is seeing each quality in its fullness. And we're nurturing that in our daily thought, speech, and action. And that will prevent anything from being inactive. We're going to be kept plenty busy thinking about ways that we can implement the nurturing of each individual quality. Murray Baker Eddy says that we will keep plenty busy taking care of our own thought. Don't worry about someone else. In other words, there's no time to be nosy in someone else's affairs. We want to do one thing, and that is to keep our consciousness clear. Keep it full of truth. In fact, keep it full of everything. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Because that's what the true consciousness is. It is aware of everything. It is conscious of all goodness. In fact, if someone has a need, it will be revealed to us. And also, if we keep along the lines of studying, like have been mentioned so far, then sooner or later, it will be made available to do something to help solve the problem. If we think about power, for example, and that power is a measurement of performance, because that's really what it is. If you go to buy a car, they will have an advertised horsepower. That means, and I don't know for sure what the horse means. I don't know whether that's like one horse or a team of horses, or like the stagecoaches used to have like six horses in the Western movies, at least. So I don't know what one horsepower means. I didn't look it up. There's probably a definition in the on the internet about it. But basically, power, everything about God is omni, which means that it has no limitation, period. It is infinite. Mary Baker Eddy says, infinite progression is concrete being. So we should be striving for progression, progress, without any interruption. Infinite progression is concrete being. So the only thing that appears real to us, meaning concrete as a symbol, should be progress. If we're not making progress, then we're not in reality. We're off of the path of truth. We are not realizing that all power is from God, and therefore we, as His reflection, as its reflection, really, because God is not a man or a woman, but in God's reflection, we express God's qualities. Otherwise, we are like looking through a glass darkly, and we are not reflecting. We've got to clean that mirror that we're looking at to make sure that we're seeing the reflection of God's son or daughter, and not an image of a mortal that is based on fake news. So whatever we're looking at, whether we're looking at age, we're looking at an excess or a lack of food, we're looking at nerves that are not doing what they're supposed to do, which is carrying the message from the brain to the body, or muscles, for getting muscles that are wearing out and don't have the enthusiasm when you shake someone's hand or you give them a hug or whatever. All of that is just beliefs of different things that happen with advanced age. Now, Maybreaker Eddy makes some interesting statements about age, and she said the real thing that should happen as the age advances on a so-called material basis is that we have more wisdom because we have lived more years, we've experienced more activities, and if we were intelligent and alert, then we were observing how everything works. For example, if we're not generous with people, and we're critical, then we will find that things don't go very happy for us, because happiness is a result of seeing other people happy. And we're not going to see other people happy if we're grumbling, if we are complaining, if we're trying to blame somebody for something. That doesn't bring happiness. It brings the opposite. If we're angry about something, that does no good to anybody under any circumstance. Resentment, another thing. So there are definite qualities of God that we can focus on when we want to overcome a problem. And that's what we need to do. We need to think about those seven synonymous terms. And I believe I already mentioned that the book by Helen Wright is one of the most excellent resources on studying the seven synonymous terms. And the most advanced work on studying the system of divine metaphysics is by Rolf Witzke. That's with a W, W-I-T-Z-C-H-E. And that's another author on the website. And we have his publication available. These are really the best that you can get your hands on. These are the most advanced people, and it doesn't matter whether you are a beginner or whether you are advanced or in the middle somewhere. And nobody is too advanced, because at least anyone I know of is is not walking on water. So we are all on the path of truth if we're striving to be there. And it doesn't matter where someone else is. As a matter of fact, I saw a very interesting movie one time where there was a lady coach that was coaching some girls. And I don't know whether it was high school or college. I think it was high school. And she was coaching them to run. I don't know what it was, whether it was a 400-meter relay or what it was. But she said that you don't run someone else's race. She said, don't even look at where anyone else is on the track. You have your own identity to fulfill, and do it. Focus on your race. Focus on what I have trained you to do. And she trained them to run it in a certain number of seconds. You know, they're part of the, I think, I think it was a 400-meter relay race. Anyway, she says, remember what your race is, and you run it exactly the way you've been trained to do it. So that's what we need to do. We don't need to be concerned about competition or opposition. We just need to be focusing on our own method that we should be following, which is the system of divine metaphysics. And like Mary Baker Eddy said in her article, or it was a letter that she sent to one of her students on vision, and it's on the website under Mary Baker Eddy, under the index, under articles. Even though it's a letter, it's under articles. And she says, can you focus no matter what comes your way? It's the same thing as the girls that were running the race. Can you focus no matter where the other people are on the track? And I remember that the parents were all antsy about it, because there might be other ones that are running faster at the beginning of the race. And they're saying, what is this woman teaching our daughter? And anyway, the bottom line is the coach knew what she was doing and was very successful in how she carried it out by training them to run their race, no one else's. And that's what we got to do. Don't worry about all the mesmerism and hypnotism and all of the advertising about fake news. You stick to your guns. Stick to what the truth is. Stay on that path of truth. And immediately go to God if there's trouble. Go to God. As a matter of fact, if you look at page 115 in Science and Health, you will see that Mary Baker Eddy starts with God. You know, those are the four levels of the system of divine metaphysics. And you start with God. And you have to, you do have to go down to the lower level, because that is where the problem is. And you need to be there in order to work it out, because you need to see what the problem is. And you have to, as already indicated, you have to figure out what the problem is, because Mary Baker Eddy says we have to do the analysis. That's the first step, the analysis. Then you can expose it. Then you can explain it away with the truth by using the counterfact. And then you can raise it back up, your thought back up to the infinite. So anyway, page 115 and 116 of Science and Health gives you the details on that, and I highly recommend that that be incorporated in your treatment, no matter what the problem seems to be. If we think about what God's qualities are and what this bladder and gallbladder represents, one, the bladder is the power of holding ideas before passing them on, and the gallbladder is power of holding ideas, then we must know, and of course, one of the problems is called bladder leak. We must know that there's only one power because God is omnipotent. That means that God is demonstrated as being without limit. In other words, every element that makes up performance is unlimited. So the creative ability, the capacity, the capability, the functionality, the facility, the action, everything is infinite without any competition or any opposition. It's infinite. So therefore, the performance is going to be infinite, and therefore the power is going to be infinite. Everyone in the entire, what do I want to say? All existence, I guess is the best word. Everyone in all existence, no matter what planet they're on, no matter what they're doing or anything else, they can all be reflecting the power of God, and it doesn't dilute it for anyone else because God is infinite. God doesn't run out of power because God is defined, among other things, as being omnipotent. You don't have to worry about God not being where you are because God is omnipresent. You don't have to be concerned about a lack of action. And that action is according to divine principle. In other words, it's going to be at the right time and the right intensity. So if you've got a problem with elimination, that's the kind of thinking that you want to do to solve the problem. That all action is the action of God. There's no underaction, there's no overaction, there's no reaction, there's no inaction. The action is continuous without interruption. Then it is your action, it's not someone else's action. It's the action that is right for your activity at the moment. I think it's fun to think about any one of those things that are of the 1,315 or on those six pages that are at the end that are titled The Capacities and Powers of Man, Spiritually Understood. I think it's a lot of pleasure to think about how they relate to the system of divine metaphysics because nothing is beyond the cure. The cure can be effective for anything and everything because all we have to do is get rid of the mesmeric belief that it is real. And the way we do it is by practicing all of these things that have been discussed in this treatment. Practicing what they mean. What are the seven terms for God? What do they do? How do I get them to work for me? What do I think about? How can I apply each one of them to certain things that are involved in the particular problem that I'm dealing with right this moment? Remember, we have a lot of moments. A moment is defined as the smallest amount of time. The smallest cannot be measured as mathematics, because mathematics can always be divided, just like it can be multiplied. So mathematics doesn't give us an accurate measurement of anything to do with God. Although I will say in mathematics there's a symbol which is like a figure eight on its side, and that represents the symbol for infinity. For example, if one divides a certain number, or a lot of different numbers, it doesn't come to a whole number, but it's a decimal that goes out ad infinitum. And I think that's probably, and I'm no expert in mathematics, but that is probably where the term infinity would be used in mathematics. If it's a divider, it's a division of two numbers that don't ever resolve into a whole number. Like 6 divided by 2 is 3. It's 3.0. But 1 divided by 6 is not a whole number. Okay, 1 divided by 5 is. That's a 0.2. 1 divided by 4, 0.25, 0.250. It resolves to a whole number. 1 divided by 3 doesn't resolve to a whole number. You know, that is 0.333333333 ad infinitum. It does not resolve to a whole number. So, that would be one place where infinity could be used. Well, whatever we do in the system of divine metaphysics doesn't resolve to a whole number because there's always another level of understanding that we can get. Because mind, God, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, they are all infinite. So they don't resolve to a whole number because they go on ad infinitum. The key thing we need to remember is that no matter what the problem is, we only have to do it a step at a time. Like the introductory quote to chapter 14. Line upon precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. Don't worry about solving a big problem. Solve it one piece at a time. That's all you need to focus on. What are you focusing on right now? Like Mary Baker Eddy says, can you focus no matter what comes your way? So if a bladder or gallbladder or a bladder leak comes your way, don't worry about solving it in a minute. Just do your work. It's like a professional salesman. And I haven't had any training in professional salesmanship, but I do know this, and that is that they are told that if they keep putting deals in the pipe, sooner or later something is going to gel and come out the other end as a completed sale. So just keep putting your deals in the pipe. Keep putting your thoughts about mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Keep putting it in the pipeline. Sooner or later, you're going to get a little bit better understanding of it, and you'll see the daylight that will solve the problem of whatever it is, whether it's a bladder, gallbladder, whether it's whatever it is, doesn't matter. The name doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is qualities. I had a longtime friend, very, very successful practitioner, and she said, always remember, the only thing that exists are qualities. So if we focus on the qualities, we're going to bring about a solution. Not persons, not events, but qualities. Focus on the qualities. God is all in all. That means all source and all manifestation. And therefore, there is nothing but God. Amen.